I'm Laura Murphy Oates, and this is The Full Story. In February, former Liberal staffer Brittany Higgins came forward with an allegation she had been raped in Parliament by another staffer in 2019. In the days that followed, rumours began circulating about why Brittany had come forward.
Peter Van Onselen is political editor with the Ten Network and contributing editor with The Australian. Peter, hello there.
Good morning, Fran.
And then Channel 10 journalist Peter Van Onselen told the ABC,
I can let your listeners know that the Prime Minister's office has been backgrounding that her partner, her now partner, has a vendetta or a gripe, might be the better way to put it, against the government because of him being a former public servant.
That these rumours have been spread by staff in the Prime Minister's office.
Now, that might not technically be victim blaming, but I tell you what, it is grubby.
This triggered an investigation into the conduct of Morrison's staff, with the final report released last week. But this is just one of many inquiries and investigations, all looking at what happened to Brittany Higgins.
I mean, where's the humanity? The thought that behind the scenes, what happens is there is an attempt to muddy the waters and to throw political mud and go on the political offensive against her partner to try to, if you like, undermine the power of how she feels.
Today, Brittany Higgins and the questions left unanswered. It's Thursday, the 3rd of June. So, Murph, there's been a lot of investigations and inquiries launched since Brittany Higgins came forward. I'm wondering, in a single sentence, who or what do we need to know about to start this story?
Yeah, well, just maybe two sentences, Laura. Maybe we'll do two sentences.
Catherine Murphy is the political editor of Guardian Australia.
First of all, we should say John Kunkel is Scott Morrison's chief of staff. And what John Kunkel was asked to investigate was whether or not members of his media team or Scott Morrison's media team backgrounded negatively about Brittany Higgins or her partner after the allegations of rape were made public. And there's just one more thing I want to say at the top of the episode, Laura, just for clarity with the listeners. I participated in the Kunkel inquiry myself. It was a confidential process. I don't intend to go into the ins and outs of what I said in relation to that process at all, but I just think it's honest and transparent to disclose to listeners of the pod today that I participated in it.
Okay, and before we go any further, can you actually break down what you mean when you say backgrounding? What is that?
Yeah, well, that's important. It's an important question to ask and it's an important concept to explain. Backgrounding is a very, very common practice in journalism where people, sources, people with knowledge, tell reporters about their knowledge. They share their knowledge, but on the basis that they will not be named or identified in any way. So the information, I guess, is usable, but you can't attribute it. So this is a convention that is commonly deployed and a useful one because it basically allows information to be conveyed to readers without getting sources in trouble for saying more than they should or speaking when they're not authorised to do so and all of that sort of stuff. So it's a common practice.
Right. You could speak to someone in the environment department, for example, who explains a really complex thing about how certain environmental legislations work so that you report it accurately in a story. That might be a good example of backgrounding.
That's a very good example. That is an excellent example of backgrounding and one that might occur on any day of any given week.
But it sounds like this backgrounding, Peter Van Onselen and others were taking issue with it. Can you explain what this backgrounding was really about?
Well, first of all, again, for clarity, I was never a recipient of any of this backgrounding. Nobody in the Prime Minister's press office ever said anything to me that was negative about Brittany Higgins or her partner. As for Peter Van Onselen and what he knew and what, you know, what had been said to him, I can't speak to that. Obviously, I don't have those facts at my disposal. But the concern about the backgrounding, and this is certainly Brittany Higgins was very concerned and anxious about it. She was deeply anxious that this was occurring. It was, well, I mean, let's just speak colloquially, it was an effort to muddy her up or muddy up the story that she was trying to tell. So it sort of wasn't, from Brittany Higgins' vantage point, it wasn't backgrounding with the effect of bringing important information into the public domain. It was backgrounding because this was a mud wrestle between the government involved in the political management of this issue and a young woman who had been through what she says is a terrible set of experiences in March 2019.
So how does Kunkel go about investigating these allegations of backgrounding? Because I imagine that it's pretty unusual. Have you heard of something like this happening in the Prime Minister's office before?
Well, it's pretty strange. Look, in most workplaces, if you've said something untoward, said something nasty to someone or abused someone or brought disrepute on your organisation, generally your line manager just wanders around and says to you, listen, did you say something bad? And you as the employee say directly to your line manager, yes, I did, or no, I didn't.
Mm.
And generally, that's the end of the matter. It's sort of, there's a more elaborate process put in place here because obviously, for whatever reason, the Prime Minister just didn't walk around to the press office and say, hi guys, how's your morning been? Anyone backgrounding against Brittany Higgins? Like, obviously, that didn't happen. So a process was put in train where John Kunkel, who is the Chief of Staff in the office and therefore responsible for managing all the staff on Scott Morrison's team, including the media unit. So they were invited to a meeting, the staff.
Mm-hmm.
Kunkel says that he interviewed all of the senior members in the media team employed in the Prime Minister's office. He endeavoured to speak to a number of journalists who were reporting on these matters and therefore had relevant information. He also interviewed Brittany Higgins herself, because obviously her account was more than relevant to establishing whether or not this behaviour was occurring. And then after he interviewed Brittany Higgins, he says he went back to the media team and had another conversation with those individuals, presumably referencing various things that Brittany Higgins told him.
Do we know if he spoke to the journalists that were allegedly backgrounded by the Prime Minister's office?
Well, in his own report, he says that he spoke to a number of journalists, but he says in his report that none of the journalists that he spoke to had firsthand direct knowledge of this backgrounding. So and what we mean by that is that none of the journalists who participated in the inquiry had direct knowledge that they shared with him.
Why would that be the case, that he would have an inquiry into backgrounding and not speak to the journalists that supposedly had been backgrounded by the Prime Minister's office? What is the point of that?
Well, it seems, I don't know, what does it seem like? A bit Kafkaesque or a bit strange, an inquiry that cannot possibly get to a resolution and all of those are fair observations. But we need to come back to the Journalist Code of Ethics and explain that, I think, a bit to the listeners. See, in terms of the backgrounding convention, basically our code of ethics sets out that if you've had a background conversation with someone, if you have agreed to that, if there has been an explicit agreement between journalist and source that this is a background conversation, then that is a confidence that both parties enter into, and that confidence needs to be respected, or in all circumstances, I think, is the wording actually in our code of ethics. So what that means is that if a journalist had received firsthand information or had been backgrounded by any of these people, a journalist would have great difficulty participating in the Kunkel review because that would involve a breach of our own code of ethics. Now, just a little bit more on the code of ethics, because it's not absolutely hard and fast, because our code of ethics actually gives us a couple of contradictory bits of instructions here, which can make these judgments quite difficult. Because our code of ethics requires that we journalists, we don't suppress relevant available facts.
Mm.
The code requires that we disclose relevant, available facts. That's number one.
Which could be interpreted as the person who they spoke, the source, if it was of public interest for that source to be revealed.
Yes, exactly. If there is a public interest in revealing the behaviour, then the code actually tells you contradictory things. It says disclose all or don't suppress all available relevant facts. Don't suppress something that you should disclose in the public interest. But it also, on the background point, it's very clear. You know, if you've agreed to a conversation on background, then you can't subsequently unagree to that and share that conversation in another forum. Unless you are so convinced that there is very substantial public interest in you doing that. Mm. So anyway, I can only speak for my own deliberations here and my own experiences, but they are genuinely tough calls. Obviously, if this negative backgrounding was occurring, and like I say, I have no direct experience of it. So, but if you're in a position where somebody has said something very negative about Brittany Higgins or her partner, you're a journalist, you've agreed to have a background conversation, you would have been very chewed up about that. You would have been very, very chewed up about it.
Next, breaking down the Kunkel report. So there's this investigation where the key people who could confirm whether the Prime Minister's office did this backgrounding, the journalists, aren't spoken to or don't speak out. With this in mind, what did Kunkel find?
I think it's very interesting that John Kunkel did not exonerate the press office. He said, basically, I have no first-hand information before me. I have no direct primary proof that would substantiate this to the point of proof required for me to make a finding. And again, reading between the lines here, he's basically saying, look, these are very serious allegations. I think implicit in his analysis is if I could demonstrate that this were true, then people would have to lose their jobs.
Mm.
So I can't make the finding. He does not say at any point that it didn't happen. He does not say that at any point. He also is at pains to say in his report that he does not deny, that he accepts, sorry, I shouldn't say does not deny. I think they were his words, but I would express it more positively. He acknowledged that Brittany Higgins believed that this was occurring and that her views were sincerely held. Also of interest are the final two paragraphs. Let's read them out to the listeners because I think it's worth putting them on the record. He says, the fact that those allegations have been made serves as an important reminder of the need for your staff, and he's speaking to the Prime Minister here, to hold themselves to the highest standards. He says in the final paragraph, I have accordingly reinforced with the office the paramount importance of maintaining high professional and ethical standards.
I suppose from someone who isn't as close to politics and Canberra as you are, Murph, and maybe only seeing this from the outside, they might just see someone from within the Prime Minister's office saying, can't make a finding, sorry, goodbye. But from what it sounds like you've been saying, he was at least trying to make a point and send a message that people in the Prime Minister's office need to pick up their game.
There's a message here. Yeah. I think this whole process, now that we've worked through it very carefully, Laura, now we can sort of, you know, square our shoulders a bit and have some feelings about it.
Mm.
Look, this whole process, we've sort of outlined, I think, to the listeners why it's kind of like why it failed, in inverted commas. And by that, I mean failed to reach a finding, right? You could say, if you're a cynical person, you could say it was set up to fail. And maybe that's true. Maybe it was set up to fail. But I suppose what I read in this was a bit different to that. I think the report suggests that John Kunkel has attempted to go about this process with a degree of seriousness. I think he has shown his methods. He's been transparent in his report about what he did and what findings he made and why. And he is also basically publicly reminded the office to behave in a way becoming to their own positions and to the position of the Australian Prime Minister. Now, he didn't have to do any of those things. Mm. He could have just produced a report that said, nothing to see here, no finding, let's all move on. But I don't think that happened. I think he produced a very precise report that also had a message for political staff, both in Scott Morrison's office and across the government.
How do people react to this report? Specifically, I'm thinking of Brittany Higgins and her partner.
Both of them have been unhappy with where this landed. They don't feel as though there was a proper process constituted that would deliver them a measure of justice. And I completely understand why they think that, because, you know, we've been through that exhaustively, why that's a reasonable perception and a reasonable reality. To quote David Shiraz, who's Brittany's partner, he in a statement that he gave to Guardian Australia after the report was in the public domain, he said the Prime Minister's Chief of Staff had undertaken, quote, an investigation into his own office and finds it's functioning well. How unexpected. So, you know, that's irony, obviously, in case that wasn't obvious to folks listening. How unexpected. Shiraz went on, even the most cynical person would see this for what it is, PMO staffers protecting themselves.
He then goes on to say, such a finding would be based on hearsay in some instance, second or third hand. The evidence before
the Labor Senator Penny Wong noted.
So his words are, it's very careful, isn't it? I do not make a finding that negative briefing against Mr. Shiraz of the sort alleged has taken place.
She says that Kunkel did not find the backgrounding didn't happen.
He just doesn't find that it did.
Now, try and say that 10 times quickly anyway, but that'll do your head in, that idea.
But he doesn't exonerate anybody. He doesn't make a finding that it didn't occur, does he? He's very careful not to make such a finding.
And what about Morrison?
Well, Morrison, the Prime Minister.
The Member for Ballarat.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is to the Prime Minister. Can the Prime Minister now finally tell us, did his office seek to undermine Brittany Higgins' loved ones?
The Prime Minister said when he mentioned the results of the inquiry in the Parliament.
The Prime Minister has the call.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My Chief of Staff found in the negative and I tabled the report.
That it basically had exonerated everybody and we could all move on.
I thank the Prime Minister. The members on my left.
Clap hands, nothing to see here, tremendous. Here it is. Which is obviously not what the report says. And I think the report's in the public domain. Anyone listening to the pod, I'm sure, can track it down really easily and read for themselves.
So, Murph, it seems like we might have reached a dead end on the Kunkel investigation that nonetheless has revealed a lot of interesting things. But as I mentioned, this Higgins story has really brought up a whole bunch of inquiries and investigations. Where are they at? The police investigation, and I know there's another investigation that's happened as well in Canberra into this matter.
There are so many investigations, as there should be. This whole episode is just beyond appalling, and it requires interrogation every which way. And so, yes, we've had the Kunkel investigation, which you and I have canvassed. We have another investigation by the head of Scott Morrison's department. Phil Gaitchens, who is the Secretary of the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet, is conducting a separate process where he is auditing communications between the Prime Minister's staff and Brittany Higgins. Now, the reason he's doing that is because there's conflicting accounts. Brittany Higgins has suggested that members of the Prime Minister's staff knew about the sexual assault allegation prior to it being disclosed by Sam Maiden at news.com in the middle of February 2020. She has suggested that people had knowledge. The Prime Minister has said consistently that the first his staff knew of it was just before the story broke, the Friday before the story broke. And the first time he, the Prime Minister, knew about it was on the day that the story was made public on news.com. Mm. So Phil Gaitchens has been tasked by the Prime Minister to get to the bottom of those discrepancies.
And will we be getting a report on that, much like in the Kunkel investigation?
God knows. God knows, Laura.
What do you mean?
It's very hard to know at this point.
You gave an undertaking as to confidentiality. Did I hear you right?
You did, Senator.
This was raised at a recent Senate estimates hearing. Phil Gaetjens, the secretary, said, couldn't answer a question about whether or not this report would ever be in the public domain.
Mm. So how is Ms Higgins and the public supposed to know who knew what when if you've given an undertaking as to confidentiality at the outset?
Senator, this is an inquiry that I'm doing for the Prime Minister with reference to his staff.
The reason he couldn't answer it is reasonable. In fact, he pointed out, this is not my report. This is a report I'm doing for the Prime Minister. I'm going to give my report to the Prime Minister.
Yeah. Yes, we understand
it that. Whether that report is made public is not up to me. It's up to the Prime Minister.
So it might not be made public.
Then the Prime Minister will do with it what the Prime Minister wants to do with it.
I'm glad you've made that clear.
So it's secret secret report.
Into who
that's
what
you've told us this morning.
It is not my report to make public, Senator.
So to summarise, we had a report that couldn't make a finding and another one that may never be released.
We're doing well.
What about the third one, the police investigation?
Yes. Well the police investigation is of paramount importance. Since Brittany Higgins, soon after, in March 2019, Brittany Higgins did speak to the Australian Federal Police and reported her allegation of sexual assault from a then colleague. But she paused that investigation for a whole bunch of reasons that I think a lot of people listening to the show will remember. She was concerned about whether or not she would lose her job, whether this would end her career in political staffing. It was close to an election. She wanted to be a good team player, so she didn't pursue it at that time. After going public with her allegation, Brittany Higgins recommenced the Federal Police, her interaction with the Federal Police. Mm. Again, at a recent Senate estimates hearing, the AFP told us that the ACT Police, who are the relevant police here investigating an alleged sex crime, are very close to completing their inquiries. So the next step will be preparing a brief of evidence for the Director of Public Prosecutions. So again, we're not sure exactly when the investigation will formally conclude and it moves to an assessment about whether or not this will ever be prosecuted. But the impression the police gave us at Senate Estimates is that it was close to basically moving on to the next threshold.
Mm. So watch this space to see what happens in the courts regarding her allegations, basically. Is there anything else we should know about what's happened in the wake of Brittany coming forward?
So in addition to the police telling a Senate Estimates inquiry that Brittany Higgins' matter was moving towards a conclusion of some type, the Federal Police Commissioner, Rhys Kershaw, also revealed that a further 19 allegations of misconduct involving parliamentarians, their staff or official establishments had been reported to police since Brittany Higgins went public. So, you know, I guess we could sort of end on this note or think about it through this lens. Obviously, I don't know where this whole process will end in terms of Brittany Higgins and the resolution of these matters. But what we can be absolutely certain about is that her courage in coming forward, in telling her story, in recalling her allegations and making them public has generated a change in behaviour in Canberra and a change in mindset and obviously too a change in the collective tolerance levels for behaviour that may have in the past been tolerated, may have been considered part of the culture. So when we say that Brittany Higgins has sort of created a Me Too moment for the Australian Parliament, we're not exaggerating. Brittany Higgins has absolutely created that moment. We don't know how the moment ends. We don't know whether the culture changes permanently and for the better, but already Brittany Higgins has made a difference.
That's it for today. Thanks to Catherine Murphy for her time. You can read her reporting on this at theguardian.com, and we've put some links to some articles on the full story page as well. This episode was produced by Miles Herbert, Joe Koning, Ellen Lee Beater, and myself. The executive producers of Full Story are Miles Martignoni and Gabrielle Jackson. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave a rating or a review. Okay, catch you tomorrow.